Well, again, good morning, guys. If we've not met, my name is Clay. I'm one of the pastors here, and if it's your first time, we are thrilled that you're here. No matter where you're at on the spectrum, if you're checking out God and unsure, and a neighbor brought you in and say, hey, I want to start, you know, continue your journey towards faith, you got questions, this is a place for you. You've been a Christ follower for many, many years, and you're just deeply passionate about the things of God, this is a place for you. We're glad that you are here. A little bit of a prelude before we get into today. If I mess up today, I'm a little bit tired. It's because we've been on what we call the Ultimate Guys Weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even today. And it's just been a wonderful journey. We had about 25 guys show up going on a kind of a really amazing journey, learning what it means to be a guy, the heart of a man, and all these things that are going on. We had plenty of fun stuff that went on. We did blow things up. We shot things, and that was all good. But what I watched was men come alive. We watched guys walk in, not knowing each other, a little unsure of everything else, beat down by life, depressed by life. And I can tell you, not one of those 25, when I saw them last night, was dead. They were alive, and I think it's awesome. And so because of that, I was up till 1:30 last night, talking and sharing and everything else in the mountains, 2.5, 3 hours away, and needed to be back here at 8 o'clock this morning. So I've had 3 hours of sleep. So this is the deal. My sound man is in the back. He has said, Clay, if you ramble on too much, like I'm doing right now, like he's telling me, I will just bring the volume down, we'll cue the music, and we've got a slide that says, please excuse us, we're having pastoral difficulties. So this is the way it is. So you get me with 3 hours of sleep today, but boy, I'm jazzed up about what God has been doing. This is fantastic. You're here today. This is the beginning of a series. I'm so excited to talk about this series and what it means and how it's going to work that we're calling Comparison Trap, because there is so much in our life and so many things that bring us down because we compare, because we don't measure up to something. And I think most of us aren't even realizing that we're doing it. So what I hope from today's message is to realize, while I do compare, and while I compare even more than I thought I compared, and then I want us to walk through, what does God say about that? And then we're going to kind of go on a challenge together, a really good challenge. First service was like a little bit uneasy, and then we got to the end and said, yeah, we're going to do it. We think this is great. So before we get in here, let me share a story with you to kind of set the tone. When I was, I don't know, 5 or 6 or somewhere in that age range, I loved Spider-Man. I mean, all things Spider-Man. I had Spider-Man sheets. I had Spider-Man curtains. I had Spider-Man posters. I had a Spider-Man bank that I would put all my coins in. It was Spider-Man, Spider-Man. So much so that I loved running around the house and acting like Spider-Man. And I'd grab my sisters and I would throw a blanket over them like it was a net. And then I'd tie them all up and see if they could get out like they were the bad guys, right? And then I literally would stick them to the walls, right? I'd tie them to a wall because that's what Spider-Man does. I loved Spider-Man. I had Spider-Man jammies that I would run around in, and I had Spider-Man underoos on under the jammies. In case the jammies came off, I was covered. It was Spider-Man. You're getting the picture. I had a Spider-Man bicycle. It was all things Spider-Man. So around this age, there's a local theme park where I grew up in Atlanta called Six Flags. And back in those days, Six Flags, it wasn't quite as well produced, and so it was kind of like, you know, a little bit redneck version of Disney World. And not quite there, but on this occasion, they had Spider-Man in a show. And so my dad said, we're going to go to Six Flags. And hey, Spider-Man is at Six Flags. And I'm like, game on, this is awesome. I get to meet Spider-Man. And so I think it's the real Spider-Man. And so I go to the show, and it is Spider-Man and Batman, and Spider-Man is fighting Doc Octopus, and it's just this amazing thing. I am enthralled as a 5 or 6 year old because that's the real Spider-Man. I can't believe he came to our hometown. Spider-Man's here, right? And I watched this whole show, and I'm just leaving. I've got my Spider-Man card, you know, and I'm watching my card, and I'm watching Spider-Man, and I'm just completely into it. And then, so what they would do, they had this show kind of in an arena, and then later, kind of through the day, Spider-Man would show out, and they'd do one of these little street shows, right? And so the street show would take place, and you'd see this street show. And so I watched, you know, we came on the street show, and there's Spider-Man, and I'm standing here, and there's Spider-Man, right? And I whip out my card, and I'm standing here with my little Spider-Man card, and he gets done with the show, and he comes over, and he signs the card, and I look at it, and I said, it reads, I don't know, I can't read. I guess it says Spider-Man, right? I am flying high. This is the most amazing moment. Now, again, I got to re-inject. Six Flags was not what it is today. It was a redneck kind of version of Disney World. It hadn't quite their production together. So later in the day, I'm a kid. I have to go to the bathroom, and Dad says, look, You can go to the bathroom. You're big enough. You can go by yourself. So I go by myself, and I go walking in, and I come into the bathroom, and guess who's in the bathroom? Spider-Man with his mask off at a urinal talking to Batman with his mask off at a urinal. That's wrong in so many ways. Guys, you don't talk to the guy in the next urinal. And so I come walking in, and I've got my Spider-Man card, and I look, and it's like Spider-Man's peeing. And the thing that they're talking about is how annoying all these kids were, how hot it was, and I didn't want to be here, and all these annoying kids just always asking for autographs. And I'm like, Spider-Man. And I walked away. And my little 5 or 6 year old heart, it was like crushed and like, wow, that's Spider-Man? Like it began to change my perspective. And why is that? It's because the highlight reel, the thing that I looked the most, it didn't match up to the reality. It didn't match up to what I saw. And because of that, there was all of this disappointment that began to take place. And everybody, we've all experienced where the highlight reel doesn't quite measure up to real life, right? Ladies, have you got that friend or that woman, or maybe you are that friend or that woman that's there? Have you met perfect house cleaning woman? Have you met her? Like you go to her house, it's always spotless, and everything's there, you know, and you walk in, and it's like, wow, I mean, I guess no one lives here because there's never dust. There's never dirt. There's no pots anywhere, you know, and everything. And like, the kids are nicely groomed, and, you know, you come over, and the lawn looks good. It's like, what happens? Do you have, like, little minions that pop out in the evening and clean up all the mess that all the kids make? Because I come over, and it's always looking good, you know. You got one of them robot vacuum cleaners that runs up. What's the secret? You ever had that? So you think, man, their house is perfect all the time. And then finally you get to go over that one day, and it's a mess, right? There's a sock on the floor. And you think, aha, so maybe it's not the way I always see it in my head, right? Maybe it's not always turned out, or maybe it's this. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not this church, but maybe you went to another church and there was like that perfect couple, because we don't have perfect people here. If you're here and you're perfect, please leave. You'll mess us up. So you were there, and it's like the perfect couple, right? You know, and you nicknamed them because you didn't really know their name. So they're Ken and Barbie. That's what you call them, right? Yeah. And when you talk around, it's like, did you see Ken and Barbie today? Yeah, I saw Ken and Barbie today, because they're perfect, and their marriage is wonderful. They're always smiling. You know, their shirts are pressed, and everything's clean. There's never any stains on them. Their kids, you know, they're perfectly spaced apart. You know, they're exactly 2 years apart. You know, and their hair is good. They always look, they're well-behaved. Everything's going on. It's like, yeah, it's Ken and Barbie, and everything's perfect. And then you have that one day when you see them, like, pulling into the parking lot, right? They're pulling in, and there's Ken and Barbie, and they're yelling at each other. You can see it. And I think he flipped her off, right? And then they start doing the parent fly swat thing over the seat. You know, you're seeing this, and kids are diving towards the back and everything. And you go, okay, so maybe the highlight reel is not really how life is for these people, right? We've all been there, right? To where something is not what it seems. And you go, okay, that's not what it is. And the crazy thing is, we continue, though, to compare ourselves to the highlight reel. We compare ourselves to this picture of something that we've kind of dreamed up, that maybe this is the way it is, or this is it. And our life, it just doesn't measure up. Our life never measures up to the highlight reel, does it? It doesn't quite get there. We can't quite be that person, you know, thing that's there. I can't keep the house the way she keeps the house. And boy, I wish I could keep my kids the way they keep their kids. And boy, I wish my husband was like that husband over there. And did you see that? You know, all these kinds of things. And it just never lives up. It's just an endless pursuit, and it just brings disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And sometimes we make up our own highlight reels. You know, I should be more like this, and I should be more like that. And we never measure up, do we? We can't ever quite get there. I mean, we can strive, and we say, I'm going to be a little bit like this and a little more like this, and man, I can't get there. And so much of our life is just filled with disappointment. Why? Is it because life is disappointing, or is it because you can't live up to someone else's highlight reel? Where's the disappointment coming from? And people do this all the time. They do it with their job, right? You know, I like my job, but boy, their job is better. I wish I had their job. Have you seen their job? You heard about their job? They get to work from home. They just sit around in their pajamas and drink coffee all day. What a wonderful, I wish I had their job. My job's terrible. I wish I had their job, right? I wish I had their kids. Have you seen their kids? Man, their kids are perfect. They're always well-behaved and everything. I mean, look at my kids. They're horrible. Yeah, look at you. Get out of here, right? Wish I had their kids. I mean, life would be all right if I had kids. You know? Boy, have you seen their church? Well, their church has got it going on over there. I mean, they got all this stuff. They got the best kids ministry. They got the best worship ministry over there. They got life groups. Man, their life groups are amazing over there. Boy, their church is awesome. My church sucks. It's not like their church. I need a better church. Right? Do you see their pastor? He's awesome. Mine sucks. Right? We do it with money. Well, I wish I could have a house like they have. I wish I could drive a car like they do. Did you see where they went on vacation? Boy, I wish I could go on vacations like they go on vacations. I wish I could do the kinds of things that they are doing. I wish we could buy the kind of stuff that they're buying. It's just on and on and on, isn't it? And so much of our disappointment in life and so much of what is going on is not because life is so disappointing. Follow me. It's because we are disappointed. The thing we're disappointed with isn't even real. The highlight reel isn't real. So what does God have to say about this? Let's go ahead and jump into here. I think we've all been there. We've all been through some of that. What does God have to say? He does have quite a bit to say. In Ecclesiastes 4:4, he says this. This is King Solomon writing this, the wisest man who's ever lived. And he says this, "Then I realized we work and do wonderful things," he starts out and says. You know, we work, we buy houses, we pay for our kids' school, we go on vacation, we buy things, right? We do stuff, we go to this great church. We do wonderful things, he says. Why do we do wonderful things? Just because we're jealous of others. Wow. So all these things that we do, we're doing them to keep up an image. Because we're jealous of others. And he says, this makes no more sense than chasing the wind. You ever given a kid a balloon? Right? And you give the kid the helium balloon. What's the first thing you do as a parent? You give a kid a helium balloon. You like duct tape it or staple it to their wrist, right? So it doesn't fly away. Because the moment that the balloon flies away, what does the kid do? Go chasing after it. And the balloon goes wherever there's this little kid chasing it. It's like pointless. And you go, well, that dumb little kid, you chase the wind too. I've seen you. You're walking out of the store. You got this thing, whatever. You got the receipt, and the receipt falls, and the wind blows. And you're right? Chasing the wind. Solomon says, look, this whole thing you're in and doing all of these things, it's just as meaningless as chasing the wind. So as we kick off this series, we begin this series, we're going to talk a lot about this, but today's message is kind of the groundwork. Why do we do this? Why? And what does God have to say about it? And what in the world can we do about it? This is the beginning. We're going to spend the next 4 or 5 weeks looking at very specific ways that we can get out of the comparison trap. Because here's the thing. Highlight reels, the things that are at the front of other people's lives, is the bait. It's the bait that keeps us behind the scenes. Highlight reels, it's the bait in the trap that keeps us in our behind the scenes. I can't step out. I'm not that good. I'm not there. I can't do that. And so we're going to really break this down over the next 4 or 5 weeks. How do we get out of it? How do we resist the bait? How do we do it? And what I want you to see this morning is the things that we can learn from this, because God can use moments like this to teach us and to grow us. So if you got a Bible, you can open it up. If you got the YouVersion app, you can pull that out on your phone. We'll also put it on the screen. You got notes that you can look at multiple ways. But what we're going to look at here is we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And in it, to kind of set the background for what's going on, the nation of Israel has a king. They've asked for a king. God gave them a king. It's King Saul. They've had a king for a while, and Saul is a big man. Saul, you know, was big man on campus. He most likely to succeed. He is a man's man, and this is their king. But he has turned his heart away from God. And so now God has said, no, I'm going to replace Saul, and I'm going to give you a new king. And so he talks to his prophet Samuel and says, Samuel, I'm going to anoint a new king, and you're going to anoint him. I need you to go to the town of Bethlehem, right? This is where Jesus begins to come from. I need you to go to the town of Bethlehem, and I need you to go there because this is where I'm going to show you where the king is. So I need you to go to the house of Jesse. And when you get to his house, ask for his boy. So he does. Shows up, says, hey, I'm here, explains all of this. Where are your boys? And he said, all right, well, we'll go get the boys. We'll bring them in here. So he brings in 10 of his boys. He lines them all up. You know, here's my boys. And he leaves one boy out because it's the runt. It's the kid. Like, no one would ever want him to be king. I mean, we're talking king stuff. We're going to put the big boys out here. Here's my boys. And so he parades them out. And this is where we pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 16. When they arrived, okay, this is being the boys as they come out and they stand there, and Jesse the father says, hey, come on out. When they arrived, Samuel took one look. You could highlight that. One look, because this becomes very, very, very important. He took one look at Eliab, the oldest, the biggest. See, this was the brawning boy, Eliab. He took one look and thought, surely this is the anointed. Surely this is anointed. Because he looked the part. This is how the comparison trap works. Many of us, we take one look. I take one look and I make a judgment call. I take one look and this is the way it is. And some of you even say that. I only need one look at that to figure it out. And we take one look, we sum it all up, we make an assumption on it, and we begin to compare it, and we say, that's it. Surely this should be the way it is. This is the way it is. One look. We all do that, right? One look into it. And Samuel says, look, surely this must be God's anointed. But what do we teach our kids about crossing the street? What do we tell them? When you're going to cross the street, do what? Take one look and then step out. Is that what we say? Look both ways. When I was 16 and driving, I took one look. I was turning left out of my high school. I literally took one look and I pulled out because a car never comes from that direction. And guess what happened? Boom. Total my car. One look. One look is dangerous. One look is not the way it works. And so the story is here. Look, you can't take just one look. And God's going to show us the danger of comparison. The danger is just making a judgment, a snap judgment on a look. So verse 7, Samuel takes this one look. He picks Eliab and says, surely this must be God's anointed. And listen to what God says in verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance. Don't judge by his appearance. One of the first ways that we get into this comparison trap, that we fall into this, one of the things we do is we base and we make our judgment on appearance. Appearance is one of the biggest traps to set in our life. We take one look at an appearance and we say, well, that's all I need to know. This looks good. They measure up or they don't measure up, or that must be their life because I've seen it, and it's all based on appearance, right? And sometimes appearance is good. I mean, most of you looked in a mirror this morning. We appreciate it, right? Some of you looked in the mirror. You got done with what you're doing. You looked in the mirror and you went, no, try again. We appreciate it, right? Sometimes appearances are good, but sometimes they're not. And we care a lot about our appearance. You know, and we want to put up a front, and we want to be something that we're not. And probably one of the biggest ways that we put our appearance out there and make it something bigger than it is in our current society is social media, isn't it? That I'm just going to put my appearance out there. I'm going to do it. It's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's Twitter, it's Snapchat, it's whatever you got going on. And so I'm going to put out my best picture. And here's how I know that we all do this, because I'm friends with a lot of you on Facebook. And I see it. right? And here's what I see. Some of you apparently like to put pictures of all the great meals that you cooked for your family. And you post it out there, man, I'm telling you, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. I want to have it. It's like you didn't invite me. I'm a little upset, right? And here's this beautiful meal, you know, that we had. It's like hashtag healthy or whatever it is that you put on there, right? But here's how I know it's a highlight reel. Because I've never seen you post the picture where you served your family a Hot Pocket. Hashtag busy. Right? It's not real. You know, you got people thinking, oh man, the gourmet, they eat gourmet all the time. You don't. You didn't post the thing over there. It's like, you know, you looked at your kid and you said, look, I'm busy. There's the bread, there's the cheese, and there's some mayonnaise. Hashtag good mommy. Right? You're not posting that. You're not talking about that. No, you post this thing and it's wonderful. I've seen you. Right? I see some of you pulling your phone out right now going, delete, 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 delete. Right? This is where you're at. I mean, this is what we do, right? And as long as we're on this, let's step on a bunch of toes. Let's talk about the selfie, right? We got the selfie, and we see these young girls are out there. You've seen them, right? They're all in the mall and all these crazy places, and they're like, you know, or the duck hoose or whatever it is they're doing. And you'll see them do this. They're like, click. 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 Like, seriously? And then they'll post it, right? Like, trying to look all natural, like something happened. And it's like, and we can get on the teenagers, but let me tell you, I've seen you adults too. You're a little more mature about it. Here's what you do, right? You reach up and you go, oh, there's the kids. There's the kids. Oh, you guys move. Redo that again. Do that again. And then you post it, family time. No, it wasn't. Poser? There's no picture of you with the kids clawing all over the seat and one kid with like gunk in their hair and another kid bashing in their head, you know. Hashtag discipline. It's not there. It's not real. It's just not real, but we keep posting it and we keep posting. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. If you've got 700 friends on Facebook or you've got, you know, 1,200 followers on Instagram, so many people you're subscribed to, you got all of this. In your feed, if you've got that many friends, someone's always on vacation in the Caribbean, right? In that feed, someone's always eating lobster. Someone's always bought a new car or a new dress or a new house or got a new job. And you're scrolling through the feed and you're looking at the highlight reel and you look at the highlight reel and you look at the highlight and you look at your own life and you go, my life sucks. We don't go on vacation like that. We don't get houses like that. We don't get cars like that. What's wrong with my life? Nothing. It's their highlight reel. And you're comparing your everyday life with somebody's highlight reel. And you're disappointed. And there's really nothing to be disappointed about because it's not real. What is going on there is not real. And some of you go, well, I'm good, man. I don't do electronic stuff. I don't do social media. But you lie in stories. You only tell the good stuff. You know, you tell about all the wonderful things you did as a family. You talk about, oh, Sunday was so wonderful. Sunday was so great. You don't say the Saturday you slept in until 2 p.m., let the kids roam around the house, do whatever they want to. Grass grew up to your eyes. You don't tell them that. We tell these stories. And here's how I know it. Guys, think about the time when you went on the first date with your wife, the person that's your wife now, right? Here's how it went. I know. It went like this. You know, I just want to tell you, I love children. Children are just wonderful blessings. And I just have a servant's heart. I just love to serve. And oh, there's one thing you need to know about me. I got this thing where I just love to give foot massages to people I care about. Right? That's how it started. You didn't start with, you know what I like to do? Sit around in my underwear on Saturdays, eat pigskins, and watch football all day long. That's not what you said. Right? The highlight reel. The highlight reel is what you're talking about. right? So the first thing that God says to Samuel is, no. You're comparing his, you're making a look at his appearance. And then it says, don't judge by his appearance or his height. Second thing we do, we don't just look at appearances, we measure. We have to measure. Do I measure up to this person's life? Do I measure up to the standard that's here? Do I measure up to all these things? And I measure. Do my kids measure up to the neighbor's kids? Does this measure up to that? And we measure. We just like to measure. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably, you know, a 9. If you're a dude, you think you're a 9. You're really about a 4 because we over-exaggerate what we are. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, my finances are a this, right? And we like to measure because measurement is how we get things done. And so we measure. We begin to look at our life, you know, well, you know, my wife is this, and then my kids are this, and so I'm measuring against this. But what happens every time that you measure? If you measure long enough, it always breaks down, doesn't it? And you're like, okay, whoa. I need to do that again. So I'm going to measure this time, and I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to do a better job of measuring, and we're going to see how close we get. But every time that you measure, it breaks down. We measure. And God looks at this and says, look, no, you can't go by appearance. You can't go by measurement. Look what the text says. But you looked at his height, but I have, what's the word say? Rejected him. I'm looking at something else. I'm not looking at appearance. I'm not looking at measurements. I'm looking at something else. And one thing I want to talk about measurement too is that word of rejection, because every time that you measure, somebody gets rejected. When you measure your husband or your wife against someone else's husband or wife, you know, you should be more like blah. You should do things more like she does. You should do more things like he does. What does your spouse feel? Rejected. When you measure your kids, you should be more like your brother. You should be more like your sister. You know what? You should be more like the neighbor's kids. Have you seen them? And you measure them, they feel rejected. God's like, look, don't base your decisions on how something appears. Don't base it on how it measures up. I'm not even looking at that. There is something else that I'm looking at. The rest of verse 7 says this. The Lord doesn't see the way you see them. He doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward, what's the word? Appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. Well, guys, there's a different equation I've got going here. You're looking at how something looks, and you're seeing, does it measure up? And, you know, does this measure? Am I good enough? Am I really good enough? Am I better than this person? Boy, I'm so bad. I don't measure up to this. And God said, that is not even how I look at things. That I look at the heart. Over and over and over, Scripture says that God cares more about your heart than anything else. That He cares about the motives of your heart. And when you're comparing yourself against this, that the question that God wants you to ask is, why are you doing that? What's the motive of your heart? What's going on inside of there? If you're disappointed, what's happening in your heart to bring in that disappointment? You see, we look on the outward appearance about everything. And that's why in church we say, look, do this, do this, do that. You know, we give you a checklist of all the things you need to do. Act like this, be this. You know, and Scripture says you do this and this and this and this and this. God cares more about your heart and the motives of your heart than He does about your behavior. Because you can behave and your heart can be wicked. He cares more about your heart. What's the condition of your heart? Why are you comparing? You see, In the Ten Commandments, one of the big ten is a big deal. It's called the word covet. And what covet means is that you want something so deeply, you desire something so deeply that it consumes you. And the problem with comparing against someone else's highlight reel is you start coveting. You become jealous. And that's what I want. And the reason God doesn't like that is because of what it does to your heart. That I'm not satisfied now. And your heart dies a little bit every time you compare. And God says, I want you to be alive. I don't want you to be dead. So Jesus, at the end of going through his ministry, lots of things going on, lots of people hating him, lots of bad things going on, but there's an interesting thing that happens, and I think it's something that all of us need. Jesus is starting his ministry and he's baptized. And at the moment that he's baptized, in Matthew 3, it says this, that a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." How Jesus managed all the comparisons, how Jesus managed all of the stress, is he let the voice of his Father into his heart. He let the voice of the Father speak to him. And I think a lot of us, that's exactly what we need. When we look at all these things and we make all of these comparisons, what we truly need is for our Father to speak to us. Here's the way I see this, Clay. Here's the way I see them. Here's how I see your heart. Father, speak to me. That's what we desperately need. Not more stuff. Not more appearance, not more measurement. We need the voice of our Father to say, "This is my dearly loved son. This is my dearly loved daughter. I love you. I'm pleased with you, exactly like you are." We all need it. The trap of comparison is we can never hear that voice. We're always disappointed. We're always moving. We have to let the voice of the Father in. So that's what God has to say about it. What can we do about it? I want to give you a challenge. For some of you, it's a pretty tough challenge. For 1 week, 7 days from now through next Sunday, to be clear, for 1 week, I want you to fast from Facebook. And Instagram, and Twitter, and Snapchat, for all you legalists. I want you to fast from social media, but I don't want you to give it up. Here's what I want you to fast from. I want you to fast from the highlight reels. I want you to look into your feed, and when you see a highlight reel, I want you to fast. I want you to give it up. Some of you, that means you need to block about 90% of your friends, right? I don't want you to block them. When the feed comes up, just scroll right by it. Don't even read it. The first moment you pick, and someone's got that wonderful dinner, pew, it's not a Hot Pocket, gone. I want you to fast from people's highlight reels. I want you to see what it feels like to go a week without comparing yourself against someone else's highlight reels. And then the second part of that, what I want you to do, I want you to fast from writing about your highlight reels. I want you instead to write about the measures of the heart, the deeper things. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. I want you to write about deeper things. I want you to talk about things that matter. Okay? Fast the highlight reel, talk with it. And some of you are like, "Well, I'm not on social media." And here's what I want you to do. When you go to work, don't tell the highlight reels. Only speak about the deeper things. And if someone begins to tell a story and you begin to go, "Oh, well, this is a highlight reel story," be polite and then say, "Excuse yourself," and step away. Someone bought a new boat, step away. Right? Then go poke holes in it. No. Step away. Okay? That's the challenge. Challenge number one, fast from the highlight reel. fast from the highlight reel and seeing it, and then fast by saying, I'm only going to write about the deeper things. Second part is this. Spend this time for the next 7 days saying, God, I want to hear you. Will you speak down into my life? This void, this gap, this thing, this why am I comparing? I don't know why. What is it that is in me that feels like I got to continue to measure up? Ask. Seek God. Say, speak to me. And God speaks through movies. God speaks through songs. God speaks through other people. God speaks in your thoughts. There are many ways that God speaks. God, speak to me. Okay? Got that? We're going to fast from the highlight reels, and we're going to ask God to speak to us. Is that a deal? Think you can do it? Think you can handle it? This is what I would like us to do. And then we'll come back here next week, and we'll see what life is like with a week of living in the deeper things, the weightier things, the things of the heart. We'll come back together. We'll talk about next steps in the comparison trap next week. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us, for teaching us, for, gosh, the blessings in our life. But God, we repent. We are so sorry and apologize, and that we're almost like ungrateful children, that God, no matter how well our life is, it just never measures up. And God, I am so sorry. Please forgive me for being disappointed, for comparing myself against someone else's highlight reel. Some of you in this room, you need to ask God for forgiveness for exaggerating your own highlight reel. God, there's something inside of me, and I am so sorry that I feel like I've got to make myself bigger and more important or more successful or a better mom or a better dad than I really am. God, forgive me for that deception. God, we want to be a people that are authentic, that are here. Forgive us, God. Inspire us with the weightier, deeper things of the heart. Challenge us. Speak to us about who we really are. Speak to us your words. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.